There was a problem that was raised by Miami's proximity to the Caribbean, where you had dark-skinned migrants from Cuba, the Dominican Republic, from Brazil, who would arrive to Miami, in some cases as tourists, in some cases as workers, and there was genuine anxiety about what to do with them. And so in some cases, you had local entrepreneurs who would find bedding for dark-skinned migrants on the black side of town. In other cases, it took very savvy bankers or ministers to try to create new opportunities for people to vacation or to buy in white districts. There actually are Spanish language Jim Crow signs in the bus depots in Miami to try to make sure there's no confusion when the Spanish-speaking migrants do come to the city in the 1950s and 60s. It's also understood by many of the local business people that if you can build a black-only infrastructure for tourism, that you'll be able to pull people in from the north as well as the Caribbean and get them to spend money in the city. So some of the earliest efforts to make Miami kind of the premier tourist destination included creating opportunities for black migrants to go to the beach. This is where Virginia Key Beach gets established in the mid-1940s as a place for Caribbeans who are coming in, as well as for African Americans coming from the rural South and other cities. There's also a real concern what to do with heads of state from abroad. The president of Haiti, Stenio Vincent, comes into Florida in 1934, and there's actually nowhere that he's allowed to stay. No hotel owner will take a black vacationer, even if he's the head of state. And so you see Pan Am executives working with the local railroad company to try to spirit Vincent up and out of Florida before he has a chance to even suffer the indignity of suffering a Jim Crow accommodation in the city. And so the problem of having to make Miami profitable while also facing the reality of being so dependent on tourism made segregation a necessary feature of trying to grow the local economy.